It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Even at this late hour, the crumbling facade of industrialized, militarized society continues to mesmerize the majority of the masses, of first world nations in particular, even as the biosphere on which our lives depend is crumbling on every front. When those in power need additional sources of public distraction, tragic events like the recent school shooting seem to occur on cue, an event which evidence makes clear authorities were told was coming, but they did nothing. Why not? And now we hear from some that the solution to such a horrific massacre is for the teachers to carry guns? Really? And again, while the public's attention is kept occupied, the planet's ability to support life is waning by the day. Yes, we're indeed living in an insane asylum. And let's not forget the 2.4 billion rounds of ammunition that was purchased in 2012 by U.S. agencies like Homeland Security. Who do you think that ammunition is intended for? Once the store shelves begin to empty out from the biosphere implosion that's ongoing, and the law of the jungle prevails, who do you think that ammunition is for? The faith that grows out of questioning is stronger than the faith born of blind acceptance. It can withstand the shocks of circumstance. Only he who questions the universe and questions it in utter honesty can grow in his comprehension of the truth. A quote from James Dillett Freeman. Something to remember and consider. Those in power have long since fully understood that industrialized, militarized society would eventually destroy the planet's ability to support life. But in order to keep their control, in order to keep business as usual till the last possible moment, the power structure made that exchange to sacrifice any chance at preserving a long-term future for life on this planet for short-term power and control. How did those in power achieve such total control? And how is it possible for them to maintain such control, which is most certainly to the detriment of the masses? Consider this statement from a report titled, quote, Social Psychology, Obedience, and Authority. From the report, in everyday situations, people obey orders because they want to get rewards, because they want to avoid the negative consequences of disobeying, and because they believe an authority is legitimate. People justify their behavior by assigning responsibility to the authority rather to themselves. So to be clear, the dark, in fact, the nearly black horizon we are facing is not simply the result of the criminally corrupt power structure. It's more directly a result of the legions of willfully blind and morally bankrupt order followers that have facilitated the power brokers. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for February 24th, 2018. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings 6 to 7, and Sunday mornings from 7 to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. Geoengineeringwatch.org information and materials can be picked up for free at Orchard Nutrition in Redding, California. Speak to the staff in the vitamin section. Anyone who wishes to order the latest awareness-raising informational materials can do so on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. And I apologize that geoengineeringwatch.org does not have the resources to mail out these materials. We simply try to supply what we can afford to supply at a local level. Again, the materials are available on the homepage of GeoEngineeringWatch for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We're doing everything we can to help sound the alarm. That is our only goal. Let me get to headlines. There's lots to cover as the planet continues to descend into ever deeper levels of insanity on every front. This headline from The Guardian is yet another example of the human race's dangerous and destructive attempts to alter nature and the web of life. Here's the headline. GM corn set to stop man from spreading his seed. Special report, GM crops debate. Scientists have created the ultimate GM, genetically modified crop. Contraceptive corn. Waving fields of maize may one day save the world from overpopulation. The pregnancy prevention plants are the handiwork of a San Diego biotechnology company where researchers have discovered a rare class of human antibodies that attack sperm. Does anyone think that eugenics hasn't been ongoing for decades already? That this is just some potential scenario in the future? No. It's been ongoing in countless ways, from fluoride to toxic vaccinations to the toxic materials raining out of our skies being sprayed by climate engineering aircraft, which is biological warfare at the same time. How far is our criminal government willing to go to protect the completely out-of-control corporations that are poisoning the planet and the entire web of life? Consider this headline from multiple sources. Siding with Monsanto, GOP threatens to cut off World Health Organization funds over glyphosate finding. From this report, are we willing to sell out the public's right to know about harmful chemicals in the places we work, live, and play just so that Monsanto can sell more glyphosate? What is this story about? It's about when cancer was confirmed to be caused by glyphosate. Now we have our government, and it's not just the GOP, the Democratic end, it's all just a facade. It's just a giant facade. If you're caught up in the left, right, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, false paradigm of polarization, you're a part of the problem. It's all corrupt. But the bottom line is this: our government siding with Monsanto to protect them when it's been obviously proven that their product causes cancer. And our government exists to protect those corporations. There is no difference between the two. No difference between the two. Now, an even more dire headline to consider from the New York Times and other sources. A federal ban on making lethal viruses is lifted. Consider what I just said. A ban on making lethal viruses is lifted. Why should that be a surprise? From this report, federal officials on Tuesday ended a moratorium imposed 3 years ago on funding research that alters germs to make them more lethal. Such work can now proceed, said Dr. Francis S. Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health, but only if scientific panel decides that the benefits justify the risks. Of course, they always will decide that for the military-industrial complex. Some of the scientists are eager to pursue these studies because they may show, for example, how a bird flu could mutate to more easily infect humans or could yield clues to making a better vaccine. And we all know how much good vaccines have done for us, don't we? Critics say these researchers risk creating a monster germ that could escape the lab and seed a pandemic. That wouldn't be much of a surprise, would it? Report continues. Now a governmental panel will require that researchers show that their studies in this area are scientifically sound and that they will be done in a high security lab. Lots of reassurances from a completely out-of-control government that exists to reduce population in the first place. The pathogen to be modified must pose a serious health threat, and the work must produce knowledge, such as a vaccine. Again, back to a vaccine that we know are not doing anything but causing harm in general at this point. That would benefit humans. How absurd this report is in the whole premise of academia. Finally, there must be no safer way to do the research. We see this, quote, "We see this as rigorous policy," Dr. Collins said. "We want to be sure we're doing this right." Right for who, Dr. Collins? For the military-industrial complex, who knows it must control the population before the population fully wakes up to what has been done to them by the military-industrial complex? Doing this right for who? Final statements from this report. In October 2014, all federal funding was halted in an effort to make three viruses more dangerous: the flu virus and those causing Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, and several acute respiratory syndromes, SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. But the new regulations apply to any pathogen that could potentially cause a pandemic. For example, they could apply to request to create an Ebola virus transmissible through the air, said Dr. Collins. Anything they want. And do we really believe that our government is doing something benevolent here? Those in power who know the population will soon be forced to wake up because of rapidly worsening conditions on all fronts, and they are preparing for that, make no mistake about it, by the purchasing of 2.4 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition, which is for one purpose only, and by reducing any hurdles to the bio labs that are producing pathogens. And let's remember the audio I played from Dr. Ken Caldera, former government scientist at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, stating on the record his job for the government was to try to produce pathogens that could be seeded into clouds to infect the population below. This train is completely and totally off the rails, and still the masses sleep, and still the order followers blindly carry out the bidding of those in power. As I get to breaking headlines, it's imperative to remember and consider that biosphere collapse is the bottom line factor on which all depends. Biosphere collapse is the catalyst which dictates how far the power structure will go to maintain their stranglehold of control until the brutal, bitter end. The climate engineering, weather warfare, biological warfare atrocities that are occurring in our skies are the crown jewel weapon of those in power. Again, something that must always be kept in mind. At any moment of their choosing, if they feel the public is waking up and will soon hold them responsible for what they have done, at any point of their choosing, those in power can alter the mix of what's already known to be toxic, what's being sprayed in our skies, coming down through the air column. Lab tests have proven 70 in Northern California alone, and lab tests from all over the country, all over the globe, proving that the primary elements in climate engineering are raining down through the air column: aluminum, barium, strontium, lead, manganese, copper. Now, there are other sources of human pollution, of course. We recognize this. We acknowledge this at geoengineeringwatch.org. But when we have studies like the studies from CARB, California Air Resources Board, that prove metals like aluminum are not migrating from China across the Pacific, mercury can do that because it converts to a gaseous state, but not metals like aluminum. And aluminum is a heavy metal, by the way. Many people email me saying aluminum is light. It's not a heavy metal. Aluminum is considered a heavy metal. Just for clarity, I want that understood. And these metals don't migrate across oceans. They're of a much more local origin. They match climate engineering patents exactly. And when we have aircraft spray dispersion trails on some days blocking 80 to 90% of solar power uptake, and I can say that firsthand, obviously that's what got me into this battle, my off-grid home that was losing massive amounts of solar power because of what the aircraft were emitting, that's what started me on this road. That's what alerted me to climate engineering. Try to comprehend how much metal particulates it takes to block 80 to 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy, or solar energy in the case of solar PV photovoltaic uptake. 80 to 90% on some days, that bad. That takes an immense amount of material, so much material raining down on us that it is radically changing the pH value of soils. And we're breathing all this in. And we know now that the government has removed any hurdle to doing any sort of experimenting with pathogens that they choose to do. And it would take an extremely naive person, of which there are plenty, I'm sorry to say, to believe that this is not all connected, all of it. And again, the crown jewel of the U.S. military and other militaries around the globe, because governments around the globe face the same scenario. It's not just our country, but I focus much on the U.S. military, one, because it's our country. How can we criticize other countries when we're doing what we're doing on a scale that is exponentially larger than any other country because of the size of the cancerous military-industrial complex here? And it's interesting to me, I've received and often receive from people who claim to be looking for the truth, but yet when you criticize the U.S. military, it somehow scares them. They somehow think that they were a part of the herd that would protect them. And when you disclose truths that make clear the U.S. government and the U.S. military is absolutely not here to protect the U.S. population. In fact, the reverse is true. And if we look at what's happening above our heads that I've gone over too many times to recall, the climate engineering insanity, which I'm focused on, which geoengineeringwatch.org is focused on exposing and halting, and the engineering of pathogens that go hand in hand with the jet aircraft spray dispersions, it paints a very, very twisted and dark picture, and that our military involved with this. And for those in the military who are being told you're doing something for the greater good, it is not true. It is not true. And you are playing the part of a blind order follower, and you deserve that criticism if you're playing that part. I'm sorry, but you deserve it. And I have worked, as I've stated many times, I volunteered rehabbing broken, twisted men that were mangled in Vietnam, and my heart bled for them. And I feel for all those who have been forced to take part in this power structure insanity. But it's time that that changed. It's time for our military brothers and sisters to consider that it's not good enough to have good intentions. You have to open your eyes and examine what's happening and what part you're playing in what's happening. But the bottom line is this: biosphere implosion, of which climate engineering must be considered at this point the single greatest factor in atmospheric destruction, contamination of the planet. And that's saying a lot. And I hear from people also who seem to think they're quoting me as saying geoengineering is our only problem. I've never, ever said that, ever. I never will, because it's a completely irrational conclusion. The human race has decimated the planet in so many ways they could never be calculated. We've covered this planet like a cancer, cutting down forests, paving the planet, poisoning the oceans. You could never begin to calculate the damage our species has done to the planet. And so when I say climate engineering must be considered mathematically the greatest threat of all, short of nuclear cataclysm, that's saying a lot, because we have been horrific stewards of this planet. So please don't quote me out of context. Please don't. Please consider this is a complex equation. You must consider all the factors involved, or you're not going to give an accurate conclusion. But again, all boils down to biosphere implosion and the fact that as the population wakes up to the reality that the planet is losing its ability to support life, and the reality we have all known was never sustainable and it is crumbling, that's when the power structure will become more desperate and dangerous than ever, and we are there now. Let me continue with headlines. The climate engineered extreme weather whiplash scenarios are worsening, and this will continue to accelerate. This headline from last week is from InsideClimateNews.org. East Coast shatters temperature records, offering a preview to a warming world from that report. Summer-like temperatures in February, extreme rainfall, a snow drought. This is happening more often and in line with what scientists warn to expect with climate change. What's missing from that equation? Climate engineering. Insane asylum that we live in. Population that can't see what's happening over their heads because they've been told not to see it. They've been told it doesn't exist even though they do see it. And academia, the type of order follower I described earlier in this broadcast, that will do whatever they think they have to do in order to seek the rewards they seek, their paychecks and their pensions. Back to this report on the record-shattering heat in the U.S. East. After cold, weather whiplash scenarios worsening. There are records like Wednesday being the earliest 80-degree Wednesday of last week in Washington, D.C. history. And then there are eye-popping effects of those records, like seeing people wearing t-shirts on the streets of Portland, Maine in February. The list of shattered records, by the way, shattered record high temperatures, is far too long to cover in this broadcast. In some cases, former all-time highs were obliterated by 15 degrees, almost 15 degrees, I believe 14 degrees, but many were 10 degrees and over. That's breaking the former all-time record by 10 plus degrees. We are truly in uncharted territory now, and if we remain on the current course of planetary and climate decimation, none of us will be here much longer. And that, again, is not my opinion. It's a mathematical certainty. When people look up, when you understand what allows us to live here, this blanket of greenhouse gases, you look up at the sky at night and you see stars, or the blue sky when we see it without the aircraft dispersions over us. What do people think? What have they convinced themselves is separating them from the cold, harsh environment of space? It's a layer of greenhouse gas. And when you thicken that layer, what must happen? What must happen? It's going to get hotter. And what happens when you trigger feedback loops that can't be turned off? You have a runaway event, and we are in such an event now. And climate engineering, again, making it worse, not better. But it's all the above. It's all the above. We need the global warming communities to tell the whole truth, to include climate engineering. And we need the climate engineering communities to understand, climate engineering activists, and acknowledge that the human race has been extremely poor stewards of the planet. And we need these groups to come together in a mutual understanding on common ground and a united front to first expose and halt climate engineering, the single greatest leap we could take in the right direction. And if we can do that, then we face a long list of other challenges of the decimation caused by the decimation that the human race has inflicted on the planet. Continuing, the geoengineers are waging weather warfare on California yet again, this time with a crop-killing surface-level freeze after what has been nearly a complete lack of winter weather. California is bracing for below-freezing temperatures, wind, and in some areas, light snow. This is last week, by the way. After several weeks of unseasonably warm weather, forecaster said. It's not several weeks. Let's take the last 10, 15 years. Much, much warmer than average. And that's statistically hidden because as the baseline that forms the, quote, normal temperatures becomes warmer because of an ever more recent 30-year bracket that's used, that's warmer than the previous 30 years, which was warmer than the 30 years before that, the baseline of, quote, normal gets warmer. So therefore, when we're breaking normal temperatures, it's much, much warmer than the original baseline that should be taken before the Industrial Revolution began to warm the planet. Skewed statistics in the opposite direction of what most people choose to believe because they see a few emails from East Anglia where I believe two scientists were trying to make their case for global warming. Why wouldn't they try to make the case that they felt their data supported? And based on those emails, whatever your conclusion is from those emails, is that going to cause you to turn off your reality? Especially if you live in California. I know people who live here. We just endured the hottest summer by far with temperatures at midnight where I live in the forest on the east side of Lake Shasta. Temperatures at midnight last summer of 95 degrees, far hotter than the daytime high should have been. And we have people still convincing themselves because they saw a headline on some propaganda source that accused two scientists of altering their data. And so they turn off their sense of reason. They turn off their own sensory perception of the scalding heat that's frying everything and the UV radiation that's cooking everything. And they conclude that the planet's cooling. That's not rational. It's simply not rational. Two mantras that must be remembered. I'm going to say it every week so it sinks in. On the global warming community, there in the environmentalist community, there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate unless you first include climate engineering. If you're having any discussion about the climate without including that, that discussion is not valid. The anti-geoengineering community, if you are not including patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification in your discussion of climate engineering, then you're having an illegitimate conversation as well. Because these cool downs that we see, that people jump up and down and try to pretend that we're entering an ice age or some other ridiculous conclusion, the constant parade of anomalous weather whiplash cool downs are a direct result of climate engineering and, again, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Encourage those who don't know what I'm speaking about, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and search engineered snowstorms, search chemical ice nucleation, search engineering winter, anything on those titles, you'll find articles that'll give you much, much more detail on what you need to know. Finishing from this report on the recent cool down in California after so far a winter without winter. In the San Francisco Bay Area, a freeze warning will be in effect Monday night through Tuesday morning with temperatures expected to hit record lows, plummeting to the 20s and 30s, according to the National Weather Service. Again, very shallow layer of cool air. What are we hearing from the pilots at what they're seeing anywhere off the ground? Far above normal temperatures. No exceptions. Final statement from this report. This is probably the coldest air mass that we've seen since 2011. We're expecting some records to fall. Another headline from multiple sources. California finally gets winter as snow and freezing temperatures move in. And the mainstream media will hype this up all they can to convince the population that everything really is okay. there really is winter out there somewhere. Here it is now, finally, after months of very warm temperatures. And by the way, where I live on the east side of Lake Shasta, in spite of all these headlines, because I'm not in the low-lying parts of the valley, we still have not gotten a freeze. Still. We're in late February. We historically got freezes here in October. Nothing. Not a single freezing night where I live on top of a small mountain on the east side of Lake Shasta. Only the low-lying areas where that cold, dense air settles. Again, a direct result of chemical ice nucleation and passing moisture. Part of what caused it to snow here 2 days ago at 50 degrees. And the cold, dense air that creates settles to the ground. Just like the freezer in your market. When you go into a market and there's an open freezer and everything's right there, nothing on top of it, but it's frozen because the cold air sits in that basin. It's heavy. Same thing happening on a much larger scale. Another point to remember through this discussion is that the climate engineers can keep the flow of needed precipitation shut off for as long as they want to whatever location they choose to shut it off from. Locations like the U.S. West, to Spain, to Portugal, and countless other regions. The NASA satellite imagery, for example, is very similar in regard to what lies west of the bone dry North American continent and what lies west of, for example, Spain and Portugal. Same atmospheric spraying activities we see, same domes of high pressure, very similar. Why? One reason is because that high pressure spins clockwise, which spins the moisture and cooler air up and around those regions, and then it's deflected down into other regions where it's used to create the engineered cool downs, like parts of Western Europe being cooled right now, even though Spain and Portugal are frying, drought, crops dying, same in California, and the lack of food production from those critical regions, all these being critical regions, will help also occupy the population, keep them mired in struggle while the power structure prepares for the coming collapse. Many, many agendas going on at once. But certainly we must consider these not just climate sacrifice zones, regions like California, Spain, and Portugal. We must also consider them targets because the cutoff of precipitation is too consistent. It's too consistent. It must be a part of the power structure agenda. We must consider it that. So again, the agenda is complex. Don't try to oversimplify it. Let me get to headlines, more headlines. Running out of time in this one-hour broadcast. Many people ask why I'm limited to 55 minutes. This is a live on-air broadcast, West Coast, East Coast, so that's why. Continuing with more headlines on radical weather whiplash scenario. This one is from CBS News. Denver drops 72 degrees in just over a day, lands all-time top temperature swing record. According to the National Weather Service in Boulder, after a high of 69 degrees on Sunday, Denver's official low hit -3. Just over 40 hours later, 72 degree weather whiplash scenario. And I've quoted these scenarios for a very long time. Many might remember I quoted on May 1st of 2013, Amarillo, Texas, all-time high of 100 degrees, snowed the next day. This is not a natural scenario. The cool downs are what's being engineered. If there's enough moisture, they can chemically nucleate it, create a cold layer of the ground, and create frozen precipitation out of what should have been warm rain, much warmer rain. That's why we have the warm side and the cold side, to quote winter storms now, that we see the Weather Channel paid actors lying about day in and day out. More headlines. Consider this one from the UK Sun and other sources. The big freeze. Britain and the US, after splitting in two over the Arctic. Arctic air, polar vortex, same named new scenarios, climate engineering at the root of all this. But where we see again the most populated regions where it's most important for the power structure to keep the population polarized, confused, and divided as to the true state of the climate, that's where we see them focusing their efforts on creating engineered cool downs. From this report, the weather phenomenon known as the sudden stratospheric warming makes air above the North Pole incredibly warm. Ionosphere heaters, I've been over that again and again. If you don't know what that is, you need to do a little research. The power that the weather makers have to heat the atmosphere is profound, to say the least. You cause an electrical chain reaction when they microwave signals into the ionosphere. It causes an electrical chain reaction that causes profound heating, that can cause a high pressure dome, that can help them maneuver the upper level wind currents. So they're, in this case, frying the Arctic in order to push the cool air south and cool down the most populated areas to keep the public divided and confused over the true state of the population. So again, and they're terming this now sudden stratospheric warming. They make these terms up as they go, just like they do in the medical community, because that gives legitimacy to whatever the situation is and makes the public believe it's somehow some authentic natural scenario when it's anything but. So they're pushing the cold air south, which is part of how they help cool down regions, in addition to some chemical ice nucleation processes that are thrown in. The report continues, a prolonged period of wild freezing conditions is set to hit Britain and the U.S. later this month because of a polar vortex, just went over those terms, is pushing incredibly cold air away from the Arctic. The phenomenon associated with wintry weather is known as a, quote, sudden stratospheric warming, acronym SSW, during which air above the North Pole becomes incredibly warm. Ionosphere heater, that's what's doing this. And the pole has been incredibly warm. In fact, above freezing, again, and let's go over this headline. This is from ArcticNews.com and other sources. Above freezing temperatures forecast at the North Pole, again, for February 25th, 2018. Surface temperatures as high as almost 35 degrees at the North Pole, while we have temperatures much colder in the lower 48. And this is what media is not telling people. And as I went over last week, in the opinion of very credible frontline experts, and the data supports this opinion, we lose the Arctic, we lose the world. Why? Because we lose the reflectivity. The oceans warm radically, and we're seeing sea temperatures in the Arctic Ocean now, in some cases, 20 to 25 degrees above normal, and that is catastrophically high, unimaginably high. And let's remember what I've stated in even earlier programs. Mathematically speaking, if all the energy, the heat, thermal energy that's now built up in the oceans was released back into the atmosphere, which of course is not possible, that can't happen, but if that energy was released back in the atmosphere, we would already be at an average global temperature of 122 degrees, average. The oceans hold an immense amount of heat, but they're done. They're done now. And that heat is now thawing methane on the seafloor. And that methane is releasing. It's a feedback loop, as I mentioned earlier in this program, migrating through the water column into the air column, covering the planet like a layer of glass. Nighttime lows, temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime highs. All connected. Everything's connected. Everything's complex. We must remember that. And the climate engineers are making all of it far worse, not better. Another headline. Climate change spells turbulent times ahead for air travel. Again, no mention of climate engineering, which is trapping more heat than it defects, destroying the ozone layer, toxifying the entire planet, thus killing forests, covering the forest foliage with an incendiary dust that burns the forest more readily. That soot goes into the atmosphere, covers the sea ice, melts the sea ice. Everything connected, but climate engineering always left out of the equation, which shows the criminal cowardice of academia. From this report, from rising temperatures preventing takeoffs, this is back to the airlines, troubled turbulent times ahead for air travel, as that headline stated, preventing takeoffs to rising seas, flooding runways, aviation needs to adapt to changes already grounding flights around the world. And let's not forget that the heat is melting runways and tarmacs. It's already happened. Jet aircraft sinking into the tarmac because it was so hot. We are in uncharted territory. Another headline. Global warming zaps oxygen. This headline was from last week. But for how many years have I been trying to bring this to the attention of as many as possible, that atmospheric oxygen percentages were plummeting? Mainstream media never talks about this, almost never. We're finally starting to get some acknowledgement of what we've reported at Geoengineering Watch for years, because it's becoming hard to hide. From this report, take a deep breath. A recent scientific study reveals disturbing loss of ocean oxygen, which affects atmospheric oxygen. The report continues, the culprit is too much anthropogenic-induced global warming, or human activities, such as planes, trains, and automobiles, burning tons of coal. Somebody must do something to fix it. It actually says that in the report. Somebody must do something to fix it. First, again, what's not mentioned, climate engineering. Single greatest source of oxygen on the planet, plankton. Single greatest source of destruction, to plankton is climate engineering. Why? Because it's destroying the ozone layer. Not the only factor destroying ozone. Again, please listen to what I'm saying and don't quote me as saying climate engineering is the only factor. I'm not saying that at all. CFCs are a problem and countless other sources of human activity are a problem. But climate engineering, mathematically, the greatest source of ozone destruction, intense UV killing plankton. Plankton die off now about 60%+ globally. And plankton is the single greatest source of atmospheric oxygen. Forest die-off, single greatest factor. Climate engineering again. Why? Because it's destroying the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, destroying the ozone layer. Again, the UV is frying the trees, poisoning the soils, which causes the trees' root systems to quit nutrient uptake, coating the forest foliage with an incendiary dust, and creating more dry lightning because the metal particles ionize the atmosphere. They make it more electrically conductive, more lightning, forests burn down. I just went over that cycle. Soot migrates into the atmosphere, settles on polar ice, much more carbon in the atmosphere. Everything feeds on itself, incredibly complex systems that the human race has completely derailed from every direction, with climate engineering being at the top of that list. Next headline. Multiple sources. We're witnessing the fastest decline in Arctic sea ice in the last 1,500 years. From that report, the Arctic Ocean once froze reliably every year. Those days are over. That is exactly what the report states. Continuing, Arctic sea ice extent has been measured by satellites since the 1970s, and scientists can sample ice cores, permafrost records, and tree rings to make some assumptions about the sea ice extent going back 1,500 years. And when you put that all in a chart, it looks scary. And what's more important than the extent, sea ice extent is the surface area, and they're counting slush as ice now because that hides statistically that the Arctic is imploding. And some of that slush is created by chemical ice nucleation. Again, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and search that subject, and you'll find more extensive articles on the subject. But the bottom line is the Arctic is imploding, and what's most important and never talked about is the mass, the volume of the ice, which is absolutely plummeting. Not much left, and it looks like we may have an ice-free Arctic by September of this year. If not this year, next year. But it looks very close. I would be surprised if we make it past September of this year without the ice pack disintegrating. The climate engineers will certainly do all they can to keep that from happening, even if they have to kill the rest of the planet to do it, and this is a problem. And I want to make clear, just because the climate engineers are trying to mask, hide, or temporarily slow down the polar implosion, this does not mean their programs are benevolent. They are not benevolent. They are malevolent in every sense. There is no good in climate engineering. And for those who claim that the climate engineers are trying to melt the polar regions, that is absolutely false. Data does not back that up. When the ice first began to implode in the Arctic in 2007, when it really began to crash, radical ramp up of climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation that, although it harms the overall scenario on the planet, although it makes the overall warming worse, they can and did temporarily mask the implosion of the ice to such a degree that many in academia and the climate science community were baffled at how the ice could have recovered in 2008 and 2009 as much as it did when it imploded again in 2012 because the heat is continually building up from below as well in the oceans, as I mentioned. Another ramp up of climate engineering. So we must look at the overall picture. And yes, the climate engineers, in order to mask certain things, in order to keep business as usual, in order to keep the population from panicking, are willing to kill the entire planet, to keep their stranglehold on power as long as possible. That's part of what I covered in the beginning of this program. And they couldn't do that if it wasn't for the legions of order followers, especially in the U.S. military. Continuing, here's a headline from MSM.com. Again, a half-truth of public pacification. Leaked UN draft report sees, quote, very high risk the planet will warm beyond key limit. This is a blatant, glaring lie in this, in the opposite direction of what many people would like to believe. A draft United Nations Climate Science Report contains dire news about the warming of the planet, suggesting it will likely cross the key marker of 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit of temperature rise in the 2040s, and this will be exceedingly difficult to avoid. This is a blatant, glaring, false report, total lie of pacification. It's designed to pacify the population. If they don't think the threat is banging down the door right now, people go about their business with their iPhones and whatever other source of entertainment that keeps them occupied. We are past, available data indicates we are past 3.5 degrees C of temperature rise right now. Right now, not in the 2040s. Mathematically, in the current course, we won't be here in the 2040s. We won't be here in the 2030s. And likely not even in the late 2020s on the current course. That's how severe our situation is. And I don't care who walks away and rolls their eyes when I make such a statement. That's the mathematical facts of the matter. If you do some legitimate research, you won't like what you find. But facing the truth, all of us facing the truth, is the only chance we have at altering our current course. But when you see a headline like this that says such and such is going to happen in the next 3 or 4 decades, it's a blatant, glaring lie. Another headline, top scientist states humans will go extinct if we don't fix climate change by 2023. Again, no mention of climate engineering, unfortunately. This report states a top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. Not that simple. It's not that simple. We just stop using fossil fuels. Climate engineering, again, which uses fossil fuels as well, destroying the ozone layer. And that one factor by itself, no ozone layer, no terrestrial life on Earth, and most aquatic life gone also. The ozone layer is collapsing now. It's already horrifically damaged. We're already getting UVC on the surface. DNA damaging bands of UV radiation right now on the surface. In a recent speech at University of Chicago, James Anderson, a professor of atmospheric chemistry at Harvard University, warned that climate change is drastically pushing Earth back to the Eocene epoch from 33 million years BCE, when there was no ice on either pole. Anderson says, listen to this, current pollution levels have already catastrophically depleted atmospheric ozone levels, which absorb 98% of the ultraviolet rays, to levels not seen in 12 million years. And that atmospheric pollution that this top scientist mentions, the majority of that particulate pollution is intentionally being dispersed by climate engineering in the incredibly insane attempt, as I stated in this program, of the power structure to mask the severity of biosphere implosion while radically worsening it at the same time. Now we have acknowledgement of the catastrophically, his words, catastrophically depleted atmospheric ozone levels. And only 2 or 3 months ago, we had top sources stating the ozone layer was recovering. What a blatant, glaring lie. He went on to state this. Recovery has all been impossible, he argued, without a World War II-style transformation of industry and acceleration of the effort to halt carbon pollution and remove it from the atmosphere and climate engineering. My statement. And a new effort to reflect sunlight away from the Earth's poles. Seems he's actually advertising, pushing for climate engineering. And that's where some of these academicians go completely off the rails. All of us must learn to sift the baby from the bathwater. Here's a desperate academician actually in a covert form actually pushing for climate engineering. On that note, consider this new headline from environmentalresearchweb.org. Solar geoengineering threatens global biodiversity. Geoengineering programs that inject aerosols into the atmosphere to cool the planet may harm wildlife. We're back to that point I go over week after week. May, might, could, no may. When you're saturating the atmosphere with highly toxic particles that destroy the ozone layer and settle down to the surface where the entire web of life absorbs them, how could that be categorized as may harm wildlife? It's killing everything. That's according to a team of scientists. It took a team of scientists to come up with this, by the way. This is what academia does. Come up with, after extensive years-long studies, simple conclusions like if you jump off a 100-story building, you could get hurt. That's what they do. The following report was just issued by the European Commission for Science and for Environmental Policy. Translation, my translation, power structure propaganda. Listen to this. Cooling off effect, quote, causes public perception of novel environmental technology to improve over time. Listen to this. This is just an excerpt. Researchers have published a paper providing evidence that the cooling off effect, quote, can lead to an increased public acceptance of new environmental technologies, i.e. geoengineering, over time. The scientists analyzed survey results from over 1,000 respondents in Germany using solar radiation management. What's solar radiation management? Jet aircraft spraying the skies with light scattering toxic particles. A controversial climate engineering technology as a test case. They found that following a, quote, cooling off period of 1 month 12 months or 18 months, acceptance of SRM increased significantly, and that the longer the cooling off period, the larger the increase. The findings have far-reaching implications both for the deployment of SRM, solar radiation management, and for climate policymakers seeking to more accurately measure the public acceptance of these interventions. Testing the water, public apathy, the longer the time elapses between the knowledge of the danger, the more apathetic people become. And that's what the power structure wants, and that's what this study attempts to show or verify. Apathy. Apathy gets worse over time. And we don't have time to spare, by the way. And search mass animal deaths for 2018 and look at that list. It grows by the day. That source is keeping track of some of the major headline deaths around the globe, and it is beyond shocking. Beyond shocking. Our media tells us nothing of that. Consider this headline from grist.org and other sources, again, about the East Coast records being set. It's a steamy 80 degrees in New England in February. One more headline on this same theme. This is from Weather Underground. Summer in February, 80 degrees in Massachusetts, 78 degrees in New York. Astonishing summer-like heat cooked the eastern U.S. last week, smashing all-time records for February. Warmth in at least 10 states. At least 10 states. Planetary meltdown is here. It's underway. It's accelerating by the day. Climate engineering making it worse, not better, and all the other theater. And no matter what catastrophe the power structure facilitates happening, like perhaps the recent school shooting, all designed to continue distracting the population from the walls that are closing in on every side. And I realize how unpleasant it is to hear this kind of news, to understand that it is really this bad. But the sooner we collectively face what is, the better our chances might be of altering the course. And if we can alter that course even a few degrees, we may end up in a completely different place, as anyone who travels on any long journey knows. If your compass heading is off, even a few degrees, you end up somewhere completely different. And we don't want to remain on this course. If we do, we're done. It's that simple. And as I've stated over and over, as the power structure knows, the public can no longer be kept oblivious to how serious our situation is. They will become more dangerous than ever. Consider this headline from NexusMediaNews.com. This is just one more example of the military-industrial complex's permanent decimating of the planet as part of business as usual. The U.S. military secret that was just revealed by climate change. This story was alluded to in the past, but it's being addressed again because it's getting worse by the day. Once thought buried and frozen forever, toxic chemicals from hidden military bases now risk leaking. At the height of the Cold War in the 1950s, Greenland Ice Sheet hosted a number of clandestine U.S. Army bases whose job it was to get an estimated 600 medium-range ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads ready for deployment. The largest of these sites was Camp Century. What's happening now? These sites are thawing and releasing contamination. The Army never finished what it started at Camp Century. It abandoned the base in 1967, scrapping its secret project, Project Iceworm, as it was called, but the Army left behind a nasty legacy buried under all that ice and snow. Tons of toxic waste that the military officials assumed would stay frozen forever. No longer the case. Just one example. A few more examples. The nuclear contamination in the South Seas, still wreaking havoc there from testing of nuclear bombs, not just in the U.S., but other nations as well, of course. In the case of the U.S., we have the use of depleted uranium all over the globe. We have our Navy using depleted uranium for practice off the U.S. West Coast. Is it any wonder everything's dying there, in addition to all the other problems causing that die-off? The bottom line is this. Though every country is corrupt, every government is corrupt, every military is causing problems, the biggest military by far is the U.S. military, as big as the next 10 militaries combined. World's greatest single-source polluter on the planet, U.S. military. World's greatest single-source user of fossil fuels on the planet, U.S. military. On that note, here's another headline. This is from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Nuclear hawks take the reins in Tokyo. Donald Trump's plan for a more muscular U.S. nuclear posture got a ringing endorsement from the increasingly right-wing government of Japan not long after the Trump administration released its nuclear posture review in early February. Foreign Minister Taro Kono said he highly appreciates the new approach to the U.S. nuclear weapons policy. The Trump nuclear weapons policy gives Japan's nuclear hawks all the, quote, flexibility they ask for. The United States will use nuclear weapons to respond to non-nuclear attacks, including new forms of aggression like cyber attacks. How profound, after Japan was the source of the most massive killing of civilians by nuclear attacks ever, as I covered last week. The U.S. not only having nuclear weapons, but using them on innocent civilians that was not necessary to end World War II, as our own U.S. military generals stated, for the record. To be clear, as the world becomes increasingly contaminated with nuclear fallout from ongoing nuclear catastrophes like Fukushima, disasters with no known technology that can fix the problem, and thus the disasters have no end in sight. The power brokers in the U.S. and Japan have, as I just stated, decided for all of us that more nuclear weapons are on the menu. On that note, the Army plans on stockpiling thousands of artillery shells ahead of the next big war, it seems. The Army plans to buy nearly 150,000 artillery shells next fiscal year as soldiers train to fight conventional wars again. The Army's proposed 2019 budget calls for a eye-popping 149,297 155-millimeter shells. This is an increase of nearly 1,000%. More weapons. While the planet goes down in flames, more weapons. This is exactly the theme that I started this broadcast with. When the biosphere breaking point has been completely breached, when populations are at the threshold of being forced to wake up and face reality, the power structure will become more desperate and dangerous than ever before. What's the greatest potentially counterbalancing force yet remaining on the planet? The U.S. population. If they could only be awakened to reality before the power structure is ready for that to happen. We must beat them to the intersection, so to speak. If we can awaken the U.S. citizenry, we can awaken many of our brothers and sisters in the U.S. military. If we can do that, we could have a real chance of altering our current course. And for the record, though I am focused on what we can do to help rein in the highly dangerous and destructive behavior of what is by far the largest military on the planet, the U.S. military, this does not mean, and I'm not saying, that other countries and militaries are benevolent. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if our collective efforts can wake our military brothers and sisters to what is unfolding, to what part they are playing in their own demise and the demise of their children and their children's futures and their own countrymen, if such an awakening causes enough of them to refuse to participate any further in the insanity, then a significant change in the direction of the human race will have been achieved. We have a power structure right now that appears to be digging in and preparing as fast as they can for total global collapse, not just societal, but environmental. A lot of activity going on in Antarctica, for example, from many countries, the heads of many countries. Are they preparing that location as a last stand for the human race, for themselves, as the potentially last habitable location on the planet, as the planet superheats? Is that what they're preparing for? While they're fueling the fire at the same time, attempting to hide reality from the population, and the population all too willing to have reality hidden from them? This paradigm must change immediately. We're running out of time incredibly rapidly. I want to state a quote from Dag Hammarskjöld. The concept of loyalty is distorted when it is understood to mean blind acceptance. That is not loyalty. That's tyranny. Consider that. Many times I've made mention of the coming forced wake-up, the imploding climate, and the ongoing climate engineering atrocities. And these are not something that can be put in the rearview mirror, as so many would choose to try and choose to do with critical issues, if they possibly could. We can choose to accept our fate well. The only alternative is to accept it poorly, but accept it we will, one way or the other. How does one make the most of whatever challenges they are faced with? By rising to the occasion. No matter how dark the horizon, solace exists in doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, regardless of the odds of success or lack thereof. Help us to sound the alarm. Help us to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity. which would be the single greatest leap we could make in the right direction. If that can be accomplished, the long list of additional challenges can then be faced. Sharing credible data from a credible source is key. The latest and most effective anti-climate engineering informational materials can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. We must all make our voices heard, while it can still make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with the Global Alert News Hour from geoengineeringwatch.org.